This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking Greater Oahu. The lead stories are the SEC wants to dethrone Elon Musk. There's additional questions about voting machine security. WikiLeaks has officially replaced Julian Assange. And can you believe it? Google at 20. I want to welcome you to episode 1316 of the Geek News Center podcast for Thursday, September 27th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, you too can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. First and foremost, I want to welcome all the new listeners to the show. I hope you take time and just get over to GeekNewsCentral.com when you're over on the website. Get subscribed to the show, subscribe to the newsletter. All the information to do that is right there on the right-hand column of the website. Get you started. And of course, you can find me in iTunes, Spotify, really any place podcasts are at. This is where you can grab the show. Get subscribed to it. Of course, if you want to watch post, you know, watch it on your TV, you can watch on the Apple TV. You can listen on blueberry.com. You can listen to your smart home devices by saying the keyword to your device and say the words, play the podcast, Geek News Central. We are live today on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Twitch. We're on Mixer. And of course, you can join us in the chat room at live.geeknewscentral.com. I'm also monitoring the chat room over on Facebook. So that's a great way to get connected while we're live. If you're live with us, thanks for being with us. Make sure you say hello in the chat room. You can join our chat room any day of the week, geeknews.chat, or you can ask to be on our Slack channel. If you want to reach out to me, you can contact me via email. That's real easy to do. geeknews@gmail.com or on Twitter @geeknews. You can follow on Facebook as well. Of course, partner shows include The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site being written by my team, the new media show hosted myself and Mr. Rob Greenley, and the podcast Legend Show. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. And you, by listening to the show, you become part of our Ohana. Ohana is the word for family here in Hawaii. So welcome to the Ohana. This show, of course, is sponsored by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. We are the longest running continuous sponsor, or they are the longest running continuous sponsor of a single podcast, and that's this show. You can find all my deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's where all the deals are at. That's where we want you to go to save money. And then basically, once you get over there, you grab the promo code and use it at checkout, or you click on the link to lock in the savings immediately, whether it be 30% off a new product purchases, a 99-cent.com, a dollar a month economy hosting with a free domain for the first year, or a dollar a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year, again, with that free domain. If you're a business owner, try that GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. All my codes are available, again, at geekandcentral.com/GoDaddy. Share those codes with your friends, family members, people that you know, coworkers. Doesn't matter. Spread the word. Tweet my codes. Link to my website. And that helps the show out a great deal when you do that. Again, remember that these promo codes keep this podcast online and keep my independent writing team employed. And you're supporting really a small team of independent content creators by using one of the promo codes here. It's really, really important. If you'll support us in the effort, I definitely appreciate it. And again, thank you for your support and share these codes with your friends and family members. Again, get all my deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's the place to go. And I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, folks. Hey, welcome to the show. And I tell you what, don't forget, we are live at geeknewscentral.com. If you're still up, if not, don't worry. Don't worry, we're going to be right here, delivered via podcast as normal. I guess it doesn't make any sense, right? If you're listening via podcast, you already know that, right? And of course, our chat room is up and running too at our Mastodon server, geeknews.chat. So let me get you all caught up just a little bit on what's going on here. We had rain today here in Honolulu. I mean, it really rained, and I'm doing the show a little early. The sky is orange. It was orange yesterday. It was, we were looking at it. It's like, wow, you know, we're thinking, here comes a storm. And sure enough. But so I'm getting started early tonight on the show, and which makes it nice to kick things off a little bit early. But the temperature here still is miserable. We finally got a little trade winds this afternoon, so I'm hopeful the end is near on this crazy hot weather that we've been having. But anyway, that you guys don't care about weather in Honolulu, but it's been really weird here recently. But I tell you what, this past week, what is today? Yeah, today's Thursday. This past week, the last 7 days, I've learned more about Google and the way they're ranking sites and the way they're looking at page speed loads and everything to the 100th degree. I've been deep dive into a whole bunch of stuff. And we finished up the last, caches will clear over the next 12 hours, literally from now, maybe even the next 24 hours, the final caches will clear. And then, because we had to work with some external partners to fix some things, which was amazing. And then I'm having some code written. The code's going to go up on the site tomorrow. So if you guys have been over to the website, you will notice that the GoDaddy banners are gone. They're not on the top of the website. And the reason for that was the ad server platform that I was using was part of the issue. And instead of just going through and doing a whole bunch of work with all their suggestions, we said, why don't we just roll our own, write the code, and because all we're doing is just rotating some banners through. I don't need the tracking. I don't need the click-through rates, any of that stuff. So that's being put in place, real lean and mean. And I tell you what we're down to now is the website scoring about a 90 on an optimization level. And excuse me, the website, if you come land on Geek News Central and you haven't been on the website in, for a month, or you haven't cleared your cache, what will happen now is the website loads in about 2 seconds. And the sub pages, about 1.6, 1.7 is where we're at on that. And then there's a whole bunch of sequence of things that happen, a waterfall of events. I wrote an article on geeknewscentral.com talking about Google and talking about some of the things that I've seen. So what we've learned is over the next month, as people land on pages on Geek News Central, then what will happen is, especially if they're on Chrome, they will contribute, if they've opted in to contribute their data, they will contribute stuff back to Google. And little by little, these two mysterious, what they're called, FCP and DCL values will start to drop. And it's basically a 30-day running average of data that Google gets back. So if you're on Chrome and you're a listener of this show, I need you to start hitting the website once in a while. Just hit it. Just load the website up. Bam. If you don't want to stay, cool. Load some sub pages up. Maybe hit the GoDaddy page once, or it all depends where you want to go on the website. Hit it a few times and you don't have to be in there every day. And if you're using Chrome, that data will feed back. Now we're going to get plenty of traffic organically anyway, but if you guys load the website from time to time, it would be awesome over the next month. It'll help us drive that number down. And I think we've actually started to see a little bit of signs already of starting to climb out of the penalty box in a couple of areas. So only time will tell. We'll just have to, it's over the next month, this will be an ongoing process to get back where we were traffic-wise. But it's been pretty amazing for me to see and to learn some of these new tricks. I'm going to just be straight up. I think that for those of you that have websites, it is imperative that you start paying attention to what your website's doing, because Google has so much power. What they dictate now and what they tell you in advance, like, you know, we heard about, again, I talked about this in the last show, but they started talking in January about these page speeds and how they were going to be affecting or going to be penalizing sites that the page load speed wasn't fast. But when I mean fast, I mean they are like hardcore on certain requirements. And we've done a lot of work to the back end, some server improvements, some server configuration improvements we made. And of course, Geekness Central has gotten enough traffic over the years where I've got a cache server in front of the box. So there's actually two servers that are running, the server for Geekness Central, then the cache server. It's running on a platform called Nginx. So we've had to make tweaks there. So far, I'm very, very happy where we're at. And over the next 24 hours, I think we're going to be at the highest speed I possibly can get on the infrastructure that I'm on today. And you guys don't know this, but to run Geek News Central and basically to do everything that happens on the website and, you know, to support what we've done over the years and the type of traffic we're getting, I'm in it for about $400 a month on server bills, total server infrastructure to make it happen. So most content creators are on like shared hosting plans. And you can get the same type of performance on shared hosting plans, but you got to run a pretty lean ship. So I've got I'm pretty happy with where I'm at. Vasily is taking extra time. I get my bill, let you guys know what that is next week and what my total, I think we're probably up the $500-$600 range, maybe even $700 to have gotten all this work done, maybe a little more. It's okay. It was worth it. But, yeah, I've learned way, way, way too much and having multiple discussions with people and emails back and forth and sending emails off to groups say, hey, you know, we're running something on our website that belongs to you. And this is something we're seeing. Can you help us out? And they're like, and then we're having a discussion with them and making education, basically telling them what's going on. They're like, oh, yeah, wow. So we've actually helped a couple of companies out in making them realize that they had to make some changes on their sides too, in order to help optimization all the way through the daisy chain. I've got a couple of tickets out with some plug-in guys. I mean, I went overboard on this, but the site, if you go to the site, it's pretty doggone fast right now. Just load it. You'll see. You can visually see the difference. So I'm all prepped here. Podcast Awards ceremonies this weekend. Matter of fact, I've got the banners changed out on the Skype source behind me. Everything's going to go on Sunday, 5 p.m. Pacific is what time the Podcast Awards ceremony starts. I have some other stuff going on with the International Podcast Day. I'm doing two sessions, one session prior to the awards, one after. So we're going to be busy on Sunday for International Podcast Day. My wife is, as we speak, making the last rounds on refrigerator shopping. I think, and believe it or not, I told her, just, I don't want to be involved. You pick the one you want. Let's see if it's in budget. And she sent me a picture and she says, I really like this refrigerator. And I kind of laughed because she doesn't know what kind of a refrigerator my sister has. And I text her back. I said, that one looks awesome. I said, it's the same one my sister has. And I said, she's had pretty good luck with it, you know, at least from what I can tell. And price was right. And so she's making one more round, looking a few more, but maybe we'll have a Kenmore in the house by Saturday. And the refrigerator that's in there works now. It's going to go to the garage. It's going to be a drink machine. But yeah. No more floods in the home, but, the insurance thing is a whole nother thing. We'll talk about that, at another date. All right. So let me go ahead and get into the stack. Let me get into the content today. And, thanks for everyone for being here. Those of you on Facebook, hello, Richard, hello. Wow. This is big. And I told you guys and ladies that something was going on with Elon Musk. And, you know, it's to be told if he's got some personal issues still going on or not, or what's happening there with the little 420 thing, right? So the government is suing Elon Musk. I mean, the SEC is coming after him hard. It's for tweeting about taking Tesla private. The Securities Exchange Commission has filed a lawsuit against Tesla in Manhattan federal court. According to Bloomberg, the agency alleges that Musk tweets in August about having funding secured for a potential bid to take the company private constitute fraud for being false and misleading statements. Now, when you have a public company and you make statements that cause the stock to change and you've made a false statement or a misleading statement, it costs people to either make money or lose money. It's big. They want the lawsuit seeks to ban Musk from serving as an officer of a public company. This is huge. Huge. They want him fired and removed. Now, the Tesla stock went into a tailspin today, dropping more than 7% late afternoon trading. Now, this isn't the only investigation that Tesla's embattled CEO are currently facing. The Justice Department is reportedly looking to whether Musk misled investors with those tweets and the CEO himself is embroiled in a defamation suit for the stuff that happened over in Thailand with one of the Thai cave rescue divers. Elon basically has responded to the suit, calling it unjustified action. But he says, the unjustified action by the SEC leaves me deeply saddened and disappointed. I've always taken action in the best interest of truth, transparency, and investors. Integrity is the most important value in my life, and facts will show I never compromise this in any way. Well, I don't know. One thing or another, the SEC is going to get a pound of flesh out of this, maybe 5 pounds. I don't think I ever... Does anyone remember such a public figure being sued by the SEC for such a serious... They want him removed. And to me, that's like, wow. You know, I have friends who have a work at public companies. And man, they are like, they can't say anything. Whereas my company, I'm privately held. I don't have stockholders. Well, I do. The folks that are part of the company that hold stock, you know, I can still be fired by my board of directors, but I don't have to be as quiet as some CEOs are. You can't talk about earnings. You can't talk about projections. You have to be so careful in having a public company, and that's why it's so expensive. You know, the expense alone to be a public company on accounting and all this stuff you have to comply with is part of the reasons why most companies never go public. And it's just too much of a red tape issue. Not to say that I don't think it would be cool. You know, it would really be cool, but you got to have a certain amount of market cap, You know, have to go do an IPO or, you know, but you can come up on pink sheets, but who really wants to be on pink sheets? But, you know, the long of the story is here that he's going to have his hands full here. When you get big and the government goes after people that are big that do stupid things. And in my opinion, he's in trouble here. So, we'll see what happens. At the same time, voting machines, boy, big discussion about voting machines. We know that the DEFCON voting village, which 2 years in a row has let conference attendees try their hand at breaching voting machines. Well, you know, they had 30 voting machines at DEFCON and they had a field day with these things. So lots of severe security issues. Now, you know, we're fast approaching, you know, it's highly charged right now. We're a month and a week or so away from the November election. You know, what do y'all think? Do you think your voting machines are secure? Do you even go vote? Do you do, you know, I do all my voting absentee ballot. I think now paper, paper is about the safest thing for voting at this point. Of course, in most places, the absentee ballots don't even get, so let's say they, a candidate wins by 8,000 votes. And there's only 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 absentee ballots. They won't even count them, you know, or they'll wait several days before they count them because it's not going to affect the election one way or the other. So I think at some point we need to take voting completely online. There needs to, and I think that there needs to be some entity that each state isn't, well, you know, it, of course, you go online, it's, you can have hacking there too, probably more easily than the voting machines, who knows, but at some point something's going to have to change because it's too easy at this point to make a difference and have something get hacked and something just end up wrong. All right, WikiLeaks is a new editor-in-chief, and this is the reason why Julian Assange has no internet access. You know, he's still, can you imagine this? He's still in this Ecuadorian embassy in the UK, holed up there in a room. They've shut off his internet access. And he's trying to avoid arrest or extradition. And they haven't figured out, I guess, a way to get him out of there. You know, what happened to the days where you would just like, they would roll up a car, you know, put the guy in the trunk, you know, take him to the airport and put him on a, you know, a diplomatic aircraft and fly him out. Why don't they do that with him? Is it maybe because maybe Ecuador doesn't have any airplanes? Is that the key? I don't know. But, you know, it seems kind of crazy. This guy has been in the Ecuadorian embassy since 2012. You know, I think they bit off more than they can chew. He's probably like the ultimate unwanted house guest. So, anyway, he has had to step aside because he has no internet access. He can't do anything on WikiLeaks. So, I don't know what you guys think about that, but I thought, well, life must be pretty boring if you can't get online. I'm watching anyone on YouTube right now watching a live stream on YouTube, because I don't know why we're having such problems, but everything else runs good, but my stream to YouTube seems to choke, and it's concerning to me. I guess we'll have to keep an eye on the YouTube piece as far as this live streaming thing goes. It's one of our primary ways to reach you guys during the live show. The Facebook stuff looks great. Okay, moving on here. You know, I've had not a lot of good things to say about Google recently, but Google's at 20 years. On today's date, 1998, Google was formally incorporated. Of course, it started in a garage. And there's a video, a minute and 16 minute video that shows how dorky the Google team was on day one. And they were living, it's really kind of comical. If you haven't seen this minute and 16 second video, I'll have the link up in the show notes. Of course, you want to go look at this. It's really, truly the most dorky YouTube video I think I've ever seen, but I've never saw it before. And it was him giving the grand tour. And this place was thrashed. It's just a big mess. And it just shows you what can happen. You start in a garage, and then the next thing you know, you're the most powerful, essentially one of the most powerful companies in the world. A little more on Google. There's the new Gmail can help you get more done. And I've started to see this. I replied to an email yesterday, and all of a sudden at the bottom of the page, there was some replies. Yes, I can. No, I can't. This is a good time. It was in response to a meeting request. And then I've actually had Gmail try to finish sentences for me while I'm typing now. I've seen that a few times. So again, some of the changes to Gmail is you can prioritize emails more quickly. You can write and reply to emails faster by these suggested replies. You obviously can work offline. I don't necessarily do that. But they warn you about dangerous messages and so forth. I don't get very many of those. But anyway, there's some good updates on what's happening with Gmail. I had someone tell me the other day, I hate the new interface. I've switched it off. And I said, just go to the most narrow. You have to set the settings so that you, because I have so much email come in that I don't want like two or three lines per email. I want it as thin as possible. So I just read the subject and get in and get out. And so far, I'm okay with the change to Gmail so far. It is a little unnerving, though, for it to finish, try to finish sentences as I'm typing stuff. Google Images will now display creator and copyright metadata. This has been a big bone of contention for many years with folks that have posted stuff it's made into Google Images and online. So they are, these changes is basically is going to now include creator and credit metadata. So when you go to look at the data, it's going to tell you who the actual creator name is and who the credit should go to if you, I don't know if it's going to contain copyright information or not. Let's see here. The internet is will now include credit and creator metadata and photos displays in Google Images. In the coming weeks, we'll add copyright notice metadata, meaning visitors can see with a couple of clicks who the photographer was and who owns the rights. The creator is usually the person who took the photograph. While the credit may include additional parties or rights holders, and more importantly, copyright information. So that's cool because I'd like to see, there's sometimes I'll see an image on Google Images I'd like to use, but I know I can't. But if they have some sort of Creative Commons license information that they would share with that data would be awesome. Time will tell whether or not they, how the information is basically going to be put on there, especially for the copyright sharing information. Have you been using Skype? Well, Skype is going to move desktop users to version 8 and starting in November. And they really want people off version 7. And this is second stab at moving Skype users to the modernized desktop app. And I don't necessarily call it such a modernized experience. I've updated here, but it's not as helpful. And but anyway, they're going to make this move. They're going to force you. You have no choice because they're going to retire Skype late in November. In December. So it's just basically going to go away. They want people off Skype version 7.0. A little bit of information on the, hang on, let me gotta grab something here. Something popped up that should not have popped up. Little entertainment news, Game of Thrones, a little bit of information here. Well, we know that Game of Thrones is not coming until next year, right? July of next year. But Sophia Turner, who plays Sansa Stark, says the finale satisfied the crew, but fans may disagree. So that's interesting on her comment here. She says, actor was really satisfying. I think for everyone's storyline to be able to act out the way it all ends, it was really satisfying for us. Who knows if it will be satisfying for the fans? So what does that mean? She says, I think a lot of fans will be disappointed and a lot of fans will be over the moon. So obviously some people are going to die. And some people are not in Game of Thrones. So I bet you there's going to be a big betting pool that's going to start. If, you know, it's a long time though, before July. It's a lot of time for stuff to leak. You know, lots of people are making all kinds of speculations about it. To be honest with you, I want it to be a surprise. You know, I think we all know who we want to be run through. You know, I think we really do. I think we all know who the villains are. But I don't know if all the villains are gonna end up dead or not. It would be too good to end the story that way, right? a certain queen. So anyway, we'll see what happens with Game of Thrones. The teen hacker in Australia. Remember, we talked about this gentleman. He has avoided jail time in Australia. So this was the guy, the young man that hacked Apple. And the now adult defendant, who was 16 at the time the hacking began, who had accessed Apple's internal systems and copied data, basically was in a children's court and basically says, "Your offending is serious," the magistrate told the teenager, who cannot be named under Australian law that protects the identity of juvenile offenders. "It was sustained, sophisticated, and a successful attack on the security of a major multinational corporation." The judge should have went on to say, "In high five, you win $1,000. But no, she said no conviction was recorded against a teenager who pled guilty to two charges, and he was given an 8-month probation order. So, sentencing of juveniles is focused on rehabilitation, and the defendant had shown remorse and cooperated with authorities, the magistrate told the court. So one of the charges in the case related to unauthorized and reckless modification of data, and could have sentenced adult to 10 years in jail. So the court had the ability to impose a potential jail term for 2 years for one charge and 12 months for the other because he was a juvenile. But I think the court made the right choice here and gave the young man probation. Cooler heads prevailed. All right, how many of you have updated Office 2019? Some of you that are on the subscription plan will get it automatically. And some of you use it quite a bit. But there's a good rundown here over at Lifehacker talking about some of the new features in Office 2019, what's in it, what's changed. What's going to be available, et cetera. You know, what features you can expect with Word and Outlook and PowerPoint. But, you know, that's what I use. I use Excel, Word, and PowerPoint. Those are those of you watching the video, see this big ad at the top of the page? Is that just about as annoying, absolutely annoying as it gets? And I'm like, it's like 3/4 of the above the fold page. It's insane. It really, really is. And I've actually got the ad blocker turned on and it doesn't affect it. So anyway, if you want more information on Office 2019, link will be up in the show notes. All right. As well, there got some discussions about streaming video services. This kind of makes me laugh because I think the majority of us probably have Netflix. The majority of us probably have Amazon Prime. And I would even dare suspect a lot of you have Hulu and maybe even HBO. So, as I told you, everything's been cut here. And the only thing that we have right now is Netflix, Amazon Prime, and Hulu. My daughter's paying for Hulu. Currently not paying for digital HBO. Probably will at some point. But at this point, nothing. But they did this comparison on quality per dollar and quality shows per dollar. And I don't know how they really came up with this. But really, they said that Netflix has more quality shows per dollar, but Prime has more quality movies per dollar, which kind of makes sense. Because, you know, oftentimes I find myself being on Netflix, going through, looking, and I found a new series I kind of like. I've been watching that a little bit. But then I go back and then I'm on Prime and I find something. So it's like this back and forth game I'm playing now to find stuff. And then of course, up to this point, I'd been buying all my movies that I actually purchase on Apple TV, which now I've got concerns with them removing some movies from Apple TV. And of course, the story behind that, I don't know. I'm concerned about the continuing to buy there from a longevity standpoint. There's a huge fascination right now with dark themes, dark modes. So when I'm sitting in front of the computer, I'll be honest with you, I probably run the screens at about the as bright as they can go. Now, for the show, I have to turn the screen brightness way down. Either because if I don't, I get completely washed out for the camera. But I don't necessarily ever run my my browsers or anything in this dark mode. But it's becoming a much more popular mode to run in. And I've never really employed it, but the folks at Lifehacker have good instructions on how to make the change and how to switch to a dark mode, to a dark theme. And so maybe it's not as bright in your face. I don't know. What is the fascination? Why are you guys all loving this? And all of a sudden, why is this dark mode so popular? And is it an age thing? Be honest with you, I don't like dark rooms, and it actually drives my kids crazy. I think it's because it's a little bit of age thing too, because as you get older, your eyes don't do as good in the dark. And I'm 54. My eyes are good, but I don't do as good in the dark. So I like things brighter. But the problem thing is I always have. Now, when I sleep, I want it black, right? But when I'm up and doing stuff, I like stuff pretty bright. This dark mode is a little bit confusing to me why people like that. So is it a younger generation thing? Why are you guys liking the dark mode on browsers and your desktops and so forth? Some folks are going to be going to the White House, to wireless carriers, to meet with the president and his team. All four of the nation's biggest wireless carriers will attend a meeting at the White House to talk about 5G. So with all the craziness going on in D.C., the AT&T, T-Mobile, Sprint, and Verizon will have, I guess, executives there to talk about 5G, the deployment, where it's going, how it's going to be good or bad for the country. And I guess they're going to be sharing some information. Last week, when Amazon announced all their devices, I had a pretty good discussion with you on the show about it, and wrote a piece up in it. And the folks over at The Verge had basically kind of come in behind. Well, they wrote their own article in kind of the same vein that I had, talking about how Amazon wants to be the operating system for your life. And the reason they're pushing so much stuff into the marketplace right now is really get your home saturated with these types of devices so you don't switch. So they took the same take. And I thought it was kind of cool that at least two of us were on the same page. And it's not that big of a stretch, let's be honest. It's not rocket science to figure out what they want to have done here. But I'll have their perspective up in the show notes for you as well. At the same time, Amazon ALEXA Fund is investing in assistance for healthcare and education. So they have a $200 million fund for the promotion of voice-powered products and conversational computing. And some of these early-stage investments, Amazon has announced three of them. One is Bamboo Learning. It's exploring ways to teach people using voice-based devices like the Echo speakers. The Bamboo Music ALEXA skill teaches people the fundamentals necessary to play an instrument and increases the difficulty level of as users advance and learn more. So teach people using. So I get, okay, they're teaching people how to play instruments. Okay, that's cool. Avia is a healthcare assistant that combines a smartphone app with a voice commands to help caretakers respond to calls for care. Avia took part in the 2017 Cedars-Sinai Accelerator for healthcare companies. And the final company that got some money is called Indel. And Indel is a graduate of the Techstars Music Accelerator, and according to its websites, makes personalized sound environments help people focus, relax, sleep, or get moving. Get moving like get out and work out. So they're starting to put some money into companies' pockets. At the same time, Amazon's Jeff Bezos will now sell rocket engines as well. This is crazy. After 4-year high-profile competition, rocket maker United Launch Alliance announced Thursday that it selected the BE-4 rocket engine manufactured by Blue Engine to power its new Vulcan Centaur rocket. The new space company founded by Amazon Jeff Bezos defeated the most storied rocket engine manufacturer in the United States, Aerojet Rocketdyne, which is developing the AR-1 engine. So Blue Origin, big win here for. And he added the Vulcan rocket remains on track for an initial flight in 2020, powered by the BE-4 from Blue Origin. So congratulations to Blue Origin on that win. This phone company that I'm going to talk about, Kirk picks up a lot of mobile articles, and I usually stick them at the end of the show because they don't cover a lot of mobile. Matter of fact, my iPhone 10 XS Max will be here tomorrow. It was supposed to be here today, but got delayed. But they've got this company called Oppo, O-P-P-O. And if you've, those of you in the United States have probably never seen this mobile phone. I have. I've seen this particular phone company before, and it's pretty popular in Asia. So according to this post in the Chinese social network Weibo, the Chuck Yeager of phones is the Oppo Find X. This phone has arguably better specs, listen this, than the top-of-the-line $1,799 MacBook Pro. If you look at comparison on RAM, processing power, and a whole bunch of other stuff, this thing really comes close to matching up. And it's pretty amazing if you think about that. But pretty popular phone running Android out there. And this thing comes with 10 gig of RAM. It's just, it's a pretty good phone. So if you get into Asia and you get a chance to look at an Oppo, or if you're listening and you're outside of the United States, because I don't think I've ever seen one of these here. If someone's seen an Oppo phone in the United States, let me know. But pretty popular phone in Asia. It really, really is. But interesting on the actual specs on this thing. It's a monster. I don't know what it actually retails for, but I'll link something in the show notes. Hey, big thing that's going on right now is the crews that are striking Apple stores and stealing stuff has been on big time. One store in Palo Alto got hit twice. In 2 days, they got robbed, making off with about $50,000 worth of iPhones and iPads. You would think that Apple would set all those devices out. They would know the serial numbers. It seems like they would be able to lock those down. I don't know. To me, it just seems pointless. There must be something going on here. Are they selling these now to unsuspecting people and then they get locked out because they've been stolen? I don't know. But it is interesting, and it shows one of these. There's a video that actually is available where you can see them run. They're in and out in like 20 or 25 seconds. And there's actually a video too of one of the perpetrators getting caught. So they are paying attention, but way too many people are way too many of these hit squads hitting on these Apple stores, because it's just a lot of money they can steal, or a lot of valuable stuff they can steal very, very quickly in and out. And it is kind of curious to see what's happening there. There's a pretty good review from Forbes on the iPhone 10 XS Max. So if you're if you definitely are still on the fence on what to do here, this is a good review. I won't go into it too deep here. Link will be up for you to check it out. If you travel internationally, what happens is, and this has happens to my wife when she went to Korea, she got there and she's on Verizon for $10 a day. You get a limited amount of data and you can stay on your plan. Sometimes it works okay. Sometimes it doesn't work so good. In Japan, it works fine. I have never had no problem. In the Philippines, no problem. But in Korea, she had challenges. And so I've always, you know, if I'm really going to need data, then I will get a MiFi hotspot. And I'll rent one usually at the airport. But there's a new company out there that has a new global hotspot that you can pick up for $112. And it's got a virtual SIM in it, which is pretty cool. Works in over 100 countries. And it's also got the ability to put a dual SIM in it as well if you do pick up a SIM in the country and a data plan. And this is pretty cool. It's it basically pay as you go. When you go into a country, you get a little bit of data. And it's a MiFi. And it looks like a phone, but it's not a phone. It's actually a MiFi. And it's has the ability to configure it and set up the SIM for wherever you're at. This thing is slick. It really, really is. It's a slick device. If you travel a lot, I think this may be a perfect device to pick up for international travel. You won't have to do a rental. Just need to get a SIM card or even just use a virtual SIM and pay for your data as you go. It may cost you a little bit more than a plan would if you rented something, but you can always pick up a SIM in most countries and drop a SIM in with a plan, and you know, the SIM costs you 50 cents or something, or they give it to you for free. So this is pretty slick. I do like the product. So again, link will be up in the show notes on that. If you're wanting to know what prepaid is good right now, there's a good guide from Android Central talking about all the different prepaid plans and what's available, from coverage to pricing to who gives you the best deal. It covers everything from AT&T prepaid, Mint, Boost Mobile, T-Mobile prepaid, again, Republic Wireless, Consumer Cellular, Straight Talk. Again, everything here for every prepaid is available, and you'll be able to go through and get the pricing. It's a great, great piece. They did a great job on this to look at prepaid pricing. So that's available, of course, in the show notes as well. Kindle Unlimited. This is for book lovers out there. I love Kindle Unlimited. I can have 10 books checked out at a time. Sometimes new books aren't available on Kindle Unlimited, but about a month later, they come available on Kindle Unlimited. So you have to kind of wait. But you check it in, you read it, you get done, you can replace it. It's a great deal. Right now, you can get 50% off 6 months of Kindle Unlimited for $29.99. I think I must not pay that much. I think I pay about $40 a year. Maybe it's because I've been on it for a while. I'll have to look at my credit card bill. But if you read any number of books, if you read 10 books, in like 6 months, you're going to pay for this thing. So I really do like Kindle Unlimited. Also, how many of you only have a Chromecast? Are you having trouble watching Amazon Prime Video on Chromecast? Some folks are. My advice to you is just buy the $29 or $39 Fire TV. If it's not in the budget, I got a good instructional article here on how to use Amazon Prime Video on a Chromecast. All right. So link will be up in the show notes on that. Final article tonight's kind of fun. It's called the Hulton Archives, and it lifts the lid on the world's craziest inventions. And some of this stuff is pretty wacky. So I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. And that was dumb. I didn't go the right way here. Or did I? There we go. Some of the stuff is definitely dated, but it is entertaining to take a look at. All right, I did have some email come in, and I want to start today with Jack, and I want to make sure that I preface this before I read Jack's email. So Google has come out and said that on Chrome 70, they're going to undo what they have done with Chrome 69. Now, let me restate my point before I read Jack's email. When I was talking about Chrome 69, I did not appreciate the fact that Chrome 69 forces you to log in to the browser. It doesn't automatically force you to go to sync. But for me, that implication of them actually adding, making me log into the browser was a sign of something to come. If you're using sync, please understand what you're syncing. All right. If you're using sync today across a couple of computers and you're using Google Chrome and you have sync turned on, you are syncing bookmarks. You're syncing passwords. You're syncing historical data on where you have surfed to. Okay. With sync turned off, the only information that Google gets from you is, and again, it's still a lot, is when you do Google searches, when you use Google Gmail. That's the large majority. They don't, you know, if you're off on abc.com website, Google doesn't necessarily get data from you. Now, they may collect analytical data that has come in and present to that site owner. That person might be using Google Analytics, but I'm not telling Google I'm over on abc.com. They don't have access to that information unless I search for abc.com on Google search and click through, then of course that's going to be related to my IP. So yes, I understand Google gets a lot of data, but there's no reason for Google to get all my web surfing, all right? And again, my pretense was, and what others' pretense was, is upon the, with a Chrome 69 logging in, it just, to me, it felt like they were trying to inch their way into allowing the allowing our data to be sent back to Google. And they've clarified that that's not the case, so I've calmed down a little bit. But Jack says, Todd, I'm surprised you hear Iran and Google changed to the Chrome login policy. You're not that naive. I have three different Google accounts. I assume Google is always logging all my activity in Chrome. My data is their product. They attempt to monetize everything you and I do online. They make billions with our data. Google is similar to your much loved company Equifax, and he was saying that tongue in cheek, which gets your data from every credit application you dutifully fill out. I tried to tell you with their data breach, your data is their product. That data breach did not seem to harm them at all. They still get your credit applications. Lenders still pay them for your credit scores. I agree. I understand that. But my challenge with Equifax was that they lost the company's trust or the public's trust and should not be able to do that anymore, but they still are. So you are not their income stream. You can pay for products over Equifax. The data you provide is their income stream. Do you think Google couldn't get rather close to your credit score if they wanted to? They know your online purchases. They know where you live and shop. They read your email and would know of any creditor, lender, or collection email you receive. You, GNC, and Blueberry all live in the Google Doc Office universe. Those emails or web advertisements you see them are from Equifax or Google. What do you think they don't know about you? This is the world we live in today. I use Chrome and Gmail, but I also use Firefox and Edge. With those, I use DuckDuckGo, Bing, and occasionally Google search engines. Not out of paranoia. I just like variety, and I'm a bit of a contrarian. I am under no illusion that Google attempts to track everything I do online, as they do most every other website out there. Google is more aggressive and successful, followed closely by Facebook. Be careful. It's a jungle out there. But if I'm in my point, this is my point. Google generally will not know if I open a tab and I'm not syncing data to Google and I go to a website. Unless that website is tied into Google's Equisphere by running Google Analytics, they won't know I was there. And in the logical sense, they should not know I was there. That site owner will know I was there. But if that website owner is using AdServ from Google on there, yeah, it's true. They're going to target me. They're going to know my IP. But I think that the less they have access, and again, they have a lot of access. Let's just be frank. Google is, he knows more about us than anyone else. That's very, very true. But they don't have to know it all, I guess is my point. Maybe they're getting it all. I don't know. Bo says, Todd, I mainly use Android and Chrome base. Because of this, I always logged into Google. I always like to have access to my bookmarks and history on all platforms. I do have a Windows 10 laptop that I'm not using. Sometimes I'll use it for printing with Google Cloud. Print to my old HP laser printer for this work. I need to be logged in to Google on Chrome. So you're syncing. So, Bo, as long as you're cool with Google having all your sync data, having all your bookmarks, having all your passwords, I guess it's cool. Me, I'm not. Because that password data, that password data is not encrypted? You know that, right? In Google Chrome, your passwords are not encrypted. Just be aware. And then, of course, Bo comes back with another email. It says, it is discussed in the current podcast security now, about an hour and 20 minutes into the podcast. They say that the changes make it the same as it is in iOS and Android. It is possible to disable this new thing in Chrome. And Chrome 70, they're going to do that. But again, like Jack says, they've got nearly everything already. I'm just a firm believer and they don't need to know any more than they know. But, you know, I listened to, you guys know that I listen to Adam Curry on No Agenda. And he has done his absolute best to remove himself as much as possible from this ecosphere of tracking. He's closed his Facebook account. He's only traveling with a really kind of an old school phone. He says I'm not going to be able to disconnect completely. But he's probably the only guy that I've seen at least talk about what he's done to not let all these third parties have as much information about him, his life, what he buys, all this stuff, and using different types of browsers. A Tor browser, I think, is one of the browsers he mentioned. There's a couple others that are out there. So, you know, I think that if we're serious about it, and again, I'm complaining, but also at the same time, I have the convenience of using these tools. So, yeah, they're going to know a lot about me. So I think it's a very big, tall order to be able to completely disconnect from these systems. You look at Facebook, there's an article that came out today that was talking about they were doing a test. They took you're in your Facebook profile, you're using a phone to do verification that you're who you say you are. So you're using your telephone to get a text, to put in a thing. So when you log in, you get a third party verification or a dual authentication. So even though that telephone number isn't on your profile, it's on your security portion of the Facebook account. And what they found was when you do an ad campaign, and I've been experimenting quite a little bit with Facebook advertising it at Blueberry, is that you can upload an email address or you can upload a telephone numbers and actually target people directly by a telephone number that's maybe not necessarily on your profile. So it's pretty insane. It really, really is on the total amount of data that... that we have. So anyway, that is what's up with Facebook and some stuff that's going on. All right, let me get out of here. Everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. Thank you for supporting the sponsor. I'll be back with you on Monday. Big, big, big weekend. You want to come hang out and have fun. Internationalpodcastday.com. They're going to be like 30 hours of live streaming sessions, everything about podcasting, 13 countries. It's going to be a lot of fun, big deal. I'm going to be on for 3+ hours of the 30 some hours. So I hope that you'll join me over the weekend. So very full weekend over International Podcast Day and the team over there. We're one of the premium sponsors for that event. So lots happening. But anyway, everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Drop me an email. Let me know what you think. How's the show been going? You tired about me talking about the website? Anyway, thanks. And the insiders, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We had a couple of new insiders come on. Appreciate your coming on and supporting the show. I tell you that these donations really count. They count a lot. And if you're not an insider already, please consider becoming one. GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. Everyone, thanks for being here. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone, take care. Bye-bye.